纯粹的圣灵。
And we've been sharing many things, every class about that receiving the pure holy name.
我们每一节课的时候都分享了这一点，就是去接受纯粹的圣灵。
I'll share one of those, the new ones, about receiving the pure holy name right now.
那么我现在呢，也跟大家一起来分享接受这，嗯，这个圣灵。
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said,
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 这样说了
Chanting is more than simply making a sound.
唱诵不仅只是发出音振
Using the lips, using the tongue, using your lungs.
我们用我们的嘴唇，用我们的舌头
And then you make a sound.
用我们的肺，然后发出声音，音振
He said, you can make a machine that makes that sound.
那么他也说到，你也可以让一部机器发出这样的音振。
You can train a parrot to make that sound.
你也可以让一只鹦鹉发出这样的音振。
But chanting is more than making a sound.
但是唱诵圣名不仅仅只是发出音振。
Instead, when the soul calls out,To Lord Nityananda.
那么当灵魂呼唤主尼提亚南达的时候
Oh, Lord Nityananda.
Oh, 主尼提亚南达
You are the most merciful associate of the most munificent incarnation of the Lord.
你是最慷慨仁慈的主主且堪尼玛哈帕布最亲切最亲密的同游
You come to deliver the pure holy name.
你降临于世是为了传播纯粹的圣名。
I am most unfortunate, but please be kind upon me. Please give me that pure holy name.
虽然我是最为堕落的，但是我在此请求你，请你给予我纯粹的圣名吧。
And when you call out in that way,
当你以这样的方式去呼唤的时候
，and the pure holy name touches your heart.
纯粹的圣名就会触碰到你的内心。
Then with the same lips and the same tongue, then you call out the pure holy name. That's chanting Hare Krishna.
然后你用你同样的嘴唇、同样的舌头去呼唤纯粹的圣名，这才是真正的唱诵。
Recognize the gift that is being extended and receive it with an open heart.
所以呢，我们要去接受这样的圣名，纯粹的圣名这一礼物，就需要我们敞开心扉。
Number two.
第二点。
Establish a relationship with the holy name because Nama Prabhu is a person.
要和圣名建立起关系，因为圣名 Nama Prabhu 是一位人。
We discussed that extensively every class.
所以呢，我们每节课都会来拓展这个话题。
Number three.
第三点。
What's number three?
第三点是什么？大家记住吗？
三点。
第三点。
聆听和唱诵圣名。
To hear the glories of the holy name.
Yeah. As you chant each day, Bhaktisiddhanta recommends, along with chanting. Hear some wonderful passage or message or prayer that's glorification of the holy name.
Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 这样建议的，每天开始念诵的时候之前，我们去聆听关于主关于圣名的荣耀这样的祈祷文。
So on the first day we gave out the sheet.
那么在第一天，我们已经给大家发出材料。
And there are a number of those glorifications or meditations.On the glories of the holy name.
那么这个材料上有很多段关于冥想圣名荣耀的这样的陈述。
And this is another one, this Kevalasthakam song.
那么这是另外一个祈祷文叫 Kevalasthakam.
So, this young lady here is going to sing for you all.
啊，这个小女孩待会儿跟大家一起来唱这首歌。
She's been practicing.
她已经练习了好几遍了。
But on our final day, our devotees from Wuhan are asking them to sing.
但是呢，在最后一天的时候，我们请武汉的奉献者来领这首歌。
Because they have a nice musical group.
因为他们有一个很好的乐队。
Yes, he can sing very nicely.
他可以唱得很美。
Okay, so, the words will project on the screen.
那么这个歌词呢会打在荧幕上。
Plus you have them on the sheet that you just received.
那如你们如果有歌词的话，纸上也可以看纸上的歌词。
Anyone did not receive the sheet we just passed out?
那么呢，大家有谁没有歌词的举手。
You're going to have to sing on the last day, so you better make sure you get a copy.
那么呢，因为还在最后一天的时候还会唱到这首歌，所以那一天你们会得到这个歌词。
So we're going to need another 20 sheets, copies. Yes? We've been assigning Jambavati the service.
Yeah, Jambavati.
Are there any extra copies?
还有。
They're all gone?
他们还有其他的人需要吗？
Are there more copies?
还有其他人？
还有多余的那个？
多余的没
有吗
？Okay, so Jambavati, you can see her tomorrow morning, and she will give you a copy.
明天早上找 Jambavati 要这个歌词。
Okay.
好吗
？Raise your hand so they know who you are.
没有的举手。
不。
No, she's.
那 Jambavati 举手，他就知道谁是 Jambavati。
Tomorrow morning, see Jambavati. She'll give you a sheet if you don't have one.
如果大家没有歌词的话，明天找 Jambavati 要，他明天早上会给大家的。
Make 20-25 copies.
大概有二十多份了。
Okay. But now everyone can see what's on the screen, right?
大家是不是每个人都能看到荧幕上的歌词啊
？Turn the light out.
大家把灯关上。
Where's the light switch?
关上灯，
Can you come play the drum?
是 Woody Rolling Pogo， 你能过来打鼓吗
？And I'm going to, because I need my hand to move the slides.
因为我需要遥控这个。
打鼓。
Right here. She's going to sing. Just right here.
你就坐在这。
你还是
高头，高头，高头，你还把灯拿掉先。好，我打。
Okay, we're ready then.
We're happy.
我俩
也
可以。
那就是他
们。
At the end, it's there. At the end. At the end.
最后一天你们要唱那个。
Maduram madure pyopi Mangale pyopi mandana Bye.
Thank you.
So those of you that have a sheet, the psalm.
大家手里有歌词的奉献者。
Yeah, we don't want those.
把前面的都关了。
You can use this as we have been trying to encourage you to use these glorifications of the Holy Name. This is particularly beautiful.
那么这个可以给大家用来就是这是也是唱诵圣名的荣耀的一首歌，所以呢大家可以把这个作为提高我们唱诵圣名质量的一种方式，作为一个冥想。
We ended with chapter 5 and we'll begin chapter 6 as much as time will permit.
那么呢如果时间允许的话，我们把第五章讲完，然后讲到第六章的中部。
So who can recall, the first chapter was the glories of the Holy Name.
第一章的内容是圣名的荣耀。
The second chapter was accepting the Holy Name.
第二章讲的是接受圣名。
The third chapter was Namabhas chanting how to come to Shuddhanam.
第三章讲的是如何从 Namabhas 唱诵阶段上升到 Shuddhanam 纯粹的唱诵圣名阶段。
And there are mists and clouds that block the sun, so similarly there's things in the heart that block the pure Holy Name.
那么在天空呢有雾霭和云层会遮挡太阳的阳光，同样的在我们的内心也有不洁的东西覆盖我们的内心。
And the most difficult of all to overcome is offenses.
最难以克服的跨越的就是冒犯。
And so Haridas Thakur has been asked by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 请 Haridas Thakur.
How, what are those 10 offenses and how to overcome them?
他问 Haridas Thakur 说到了那些障碍是什么，我们如何去消除这些冒犯。
The chapter 4 began the first of those 10 offenses.
那么呢在第四章呢就开始讲述了这些冒犯的第一项冒犯。
Who can remember the first of the 10 offenses?
大家还记得十项冒犯当中的第一个冒犯是哪一个？
Sadudinda.
Sadudinda.
Offending or blaspheming, making critical comments about, remarks about Vaishnavas.
那就是去冒犯、亵渎、批评那些非常崇高的 Vaishnava 圣人。
Namaprabhu doesn't like that.
Namaprabhu 可不喜欢这样。
Those Vaishnavas are carrying devotion for the Holy Name.
那些 Vaishnava 心中承载着圣名的荣耀。
We're meant to receive benefit by that attraction for the Holy Name that they have.
那么呢，我们其实上应该去接受。我们应该去接受他们被圣名所吸引并且给予的圣名。
And even if the devotee doesn't mind so much, Namaprabhu minds very much.
即便是奉献者被他人批评或者是亵渎，但是他也不会在乎，但是 Namaprabhu 本人会在乎。
We heard it was described as the elephant of the mad elephant offense.
我们听到了这样的冒犯，对奉献者圣人的冒犯就好比疯狂大象的冒犯。
Let a wild elephant loose in your garden.
例如想象一下一头野象闯入了你的花园。
You won't have a garden anymore.
那么你就再也不会有花园了。
Everything finished.
那一切都完蛋。
Then the second offense we heard Haridas Thakur describe.
第二个冒犯是 Haridas Thakur 这样写的，这样说的。
Was not seeing the demigods as equal to or independent from Lord Vishnu.
不要把半神人等同于 Vishnu 或者是认为他们独立于主 Vishnu.
Nor should we see the name of the Supreme Lord and the Supreme Lord separate from one another.
也不要认为至尊主的圣名和至尊主本人是分隔开的。
What was the third offense?
第三个冒犯是什么？
还没讲。
啊？
还没讲。
Okay. So we didn't finish. I knew the answer, just wanted to see.
我知道这个答案。
So we finished part of seeing Lord Vishnu as the supreme absolute truth and Krishna as the superlative feature of Vishnu tattva forms.
那么呢，我们已经讲到了至尊 Vishnu 是至尊人格首神。那么 Krishna 他是最完整的，然后 Vishnu 呢具有他的六十项品质。
And then we were describing, we're hearing from Bhaktivinoda Thakur how Grihastha should handle this situation.
那么呢，我们在这里可以看到巴金诺塔库他说到了，作为一个居士应该这么去做。
All activity should be dedicated to the service of Lord Vishnu.
那作为一个居士，他应该把他所有的活动都奉献于主 Vishnu.
The samskaras should not be neglected, but they should be observed as a form of worship of Vishnu.
他不应该忽视 samskara， 他们应该去遵守这些 samskara。这是作为他们崇拜主 Vishnu 的一种方式。
We heard about the worship of ancestors that should be done by offering Vishnu prasad to them.
那么呢，我们也说到了祭祖，我们应该给祖先供奉给事先供奉给主 Vishnu 的祭鱼。
And similarly, the demigods.
同样的，崇拜诞生人也是如此。
Then we were advised to not be like Mayavadis.
而且呢，我们建议大家不要像 Mayavadi 那样。
Where we think the direct worship of devas or forefathers is just fine.
那么呢，当然那些祭祖和崇拜诞生人是件好事。
And this is the slide where we wouldn't go any further.
好，这就是我们刚才早上上课的时候到这里，这个幻灯片就不动了，摁不住了。
So, Haridas Thakur is describing the relationship of Varna and Ashram to attaining pure devotional service.
Haridas Thakur 在这里讨论了如何运用 Varna 和 Ashram 去到达纯粹的唱诵圣名阶段。
There are some members of our society.
在我们的协会中心有很多成员。
That take very, very seriously the mandate given by our founder Acharya that we understand somehow how to implement Varnashram Dharma within ISKCON, not outside of ISKCON.
那么呢，我们在我们的创办灵性导师的这个训示之下，那么 ISKCON 当中的许多成员，他们知道如何恰当的在 ISKCON 之内或者在 ISKCON 之外，恰当的运用 Varnashram 制度。
Personally, I have found this to be such a big puzzle. I've not even invested time and thought in.
那么，首先
，Personally，
从个人来说
，I find it so puzzling.
我感觉到有一点困惑。
I haven't invested much time and thought into the whole subject.
那么呢，我并
Did you say that already? I can't figure it out, so I haven't given it much thought.
那么呢，我实际上就是还没有完全的去用我很多的时间去投入思考到这个问题上。
But there are some of our leaders who have given lots of thought about it.
但是呢，我们伊斯坦当中的有一些领导人士，他们花了很长的时间去深思这个问题，这个主题。
One of those is Shivaram Swami in Hungary.
那么呢，其中的一位就是匈牙利的 Shivaram Swami.
And he made a presentation, Skype live video presentation from their studio in Budapest.
在布达佩斯，他就是通过这个在一个 Skype 天空的这样的一个中心去做了这方面的 PPT 展示。
And it's the video is now posted on dandavats.com, so you can watch it.
然后呢，这个录像呢，已经放到了一个网站上。 Dandavat.com 这个网站上大家可以在网站上去看。
Is that blocked in China or you can access it?
Can access. Okay. 那么 Dandavat.com 这个网站在中国还没有屏蔽，还可以可以上网。
The occasion was it was our North American GBC meeting in the summer session.
那么呢，在夏季的时候，在美东北美国东北部的这个 GBC 会议上。
It was about 3 weeks ago.
那是在三个礼拜以前。
And it was so impressive that I invited him to come and spend a weekend during our national holiday along with other presenters and discuss this topic of our national.
所以呢，那么在我们当时，那是三个月以前，当时呢在美国呢是美国的独立日，我就邀请希伯当和斯瓦米去到我们的这个地方进行为同一个关于 Vanashram 这个 PPT 来进行一个讲座演讲。
And other speakers.
当然还有其他的一些发言人。
The purpose is not we've got the answer. The purpose is to turn the topic and some thoughtful presentation on the subject because Prabhupada wanted it.
因为是帕帕德他希望我们一来去讨论就这个主题进行讨论，所以我们在一起讨论的目的并不是说找到一个什么答案，而是为了让大家能够集思广益在一起为这个主题进行深入而深入的讨论。
So you can anticipate the concentric circles of that splash kind of coming over to China and other parts of the world too. Splash, you know, like you drop a stone in some water and circles come out.
那么就像是在这个水里面投石一样，那么就让这个水运越来越大，越来越大，在中国也可以形成这样的一个团队的讨论。
In course of time, we will all be hearing more about this subject, I predict.
所以呢，我想在随着时间的流逝，我们会越来越深入地讨论这个主题。
Here's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote in Harinam Chintamani on this topic.
那么呢，这是关于Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在此关于 Vanashram 制度在这里进行了讨论。
Haridas Thakur is the speaker, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the author.
那么 Haridas Thakur 呢是一个讲述者，而 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 是本书的作者。
So we see the four varnas.
所以我们在这图片上看到四 varna 是社会阶层。
There's a Brahmin.
这是婆罗门。
There's a Kshatriya.
这是 Kshatriya.
There's a Vaishya.
这是 Vaishya.
You can see he has a scale and he's selling things.
那么呢，他现在正在卖东西，他有这样的技巧和技术。
And there's a Shudra.
这是 Shudra.
So.Haridas Thakur says,
Haridas Thakur 这样说道
human beings who work in this material world,
在这个物质世界里的生人类
and follow this Varnashram system,
追随 Varnashram 制度的这些人类
they walk on the path of piety,
他们在虔诚之路上行进的
andHe describes this as a scientific arrangement of society.
那么他在这里描述到，这是对社会的一种非常科学的划分。
So that the general mass of people can simultaneously satisfy their needs and their natures.
那么他们通过遵守这样的制度，普通大众自然而然就会满足他们的需求。
And gradually, slowly, in little steps.Achieve devotion to Krishna.
然后呢，他们会逐渐的去到达 Krishna， 为 Krishna 从事奉爱。
And then he says the negative.
然后他也说到了，他也说到了负面，通过负面的另一方。
Without these four varnas, one cannot be pious in the world of birth and death.
那么在这里面，他说到，如果不去追随 Vanashram 制度的话，一个人不可能在这个充满生死的国度当中虔诚行事。
Again, here's the four varnas.
这是四 varna 的图片。
And Haridas says, when engaging in this varnashram system, worship of Krishna is essential.
那么他 Haridas 他会在这里说到了，追随 varnashram 制度当中，去崇拜 Krishna 是最为重要的。
Particularly grihasthas must follow the rules of their varna.
尤其是 grihastha 必须遵守 varna 制度。
When performing their occupation or raising their family.
当他们去去从事各自的工作，去养家糊口。
And relating with all the rest of society.
还有关于这个社会当中的其他的人物。
Simultaneously, that grihastha must worship Krishna.
与此同时 ，grihastha 也应该去崇拜 Krishna.
Accepting what is needed to maintain his life.
那么去接受足以维系他们生活的一切。
Then he goes beyond the rules of Varnashram.
然后他就讲到了如何超越 Varnashram 制度。
Because there was some discussion earlier about attaining Shuddhana.
那么我们在前面的课程当中讨论到的 Shuddhanam。
Prithivardhana was asking, how far away are we from that one?
Prithivardhana 就谈到了我们离 Shuddhanam 还有多远的距离。
We need very powerful magnifying system to see how far away we are.
我们需要有这个那个非常强度的这个望远镜，能够看到我们到底还离的 Shuddhanam 还有多远。
So while following the social system given by the Vedas and chanting the holy name and engaging in devotional service.
所以呢，我们去追随伟达经所给我们的这些Varnashram 制度，去唱诵圣名，去为 Krishna 从事奉爱服务。
Haridas says that gradually one can begin to enter into the bhava bhakti stage.
Haridas Thakur 说，这样一个人就会逐渐的开始进入到 bhava bhakti 这个阶段。
Where the living entity has become perfected just by sadhana practices.
那么呢，这只有通过 sadhana bhakti， 他能够逐渐的到达。
And he's speaking here about calling this bhakti yoga.
在这里面说到了 bhakti yoga.
That means if we follow Varnashram and the regulations of sadhana bhakti, we're doing devotional service.
那就意味着我们在追随 Varnashram 这个的同时，又去从事规范修行 sadhana bhakti， 这被称为 bhakti yoga.
Gradually, the goal of life is approached.
这样逐渐的，我们就能够到达生命的目标。
And one may come to the stage of bhava bhakti.
那一个人就会逐渐的到达 bhava bhakti.
And at that stage, the importance of the rules diminishes because the ecstatic jubilation of the heart carries one forward and further toward Krishna.
那么在这个阶段呢，一个人对 Krishna 的狂喜之爱就会逐渐的发展出来。
And he gives these encouraging concluding words.
然后他在这里给出了一个非常激动人心的、鼓舞人心的一个词。
Grihastha Vaishnavas will reach this stage.
那他这里说到了 Grihastha Vaishnavas 会到达这个阶段。
So even we get out our binoculars or telescope and see where that stage is, we're far away. Just keep moving because the process of bhakti is very powerful.
那么呢，即便我们拿着高度望远镜去看，我们到离这个 Shuddhanam 这个阶段还有多远？但是我们如果我们通过这个奉爱服务的修行，一个人就会逐渐的到达这个阶段。
And when that stage of ecstatic devotion or bhava bhakti awakens,
当一个人 bhava bhakti 在心中被唤醒，也就是对 Krishna 的狂喜的这个阶段，
the necessity of rules and regulations diminishes.
那么呢，他就是在这个阶段呢，就没有那么多的，他就无需去遵守那些规范守则。
He speaks of this human body as a vehicle to get you there.
那他把人类这个，他把人的这个身体当作去到达这个目，达到这个目标的一个工具。
Now he's going to summarize the whole chapter.
现在我们来概述一下这个章节。
Lord Vishnu and his name are not different.
主 Vishnu 和他。主 Vishnu 的圣名和主 Vishnu 本人没有分别。
Lord Vishnu and his qualities are not different.
主 Vishnu 本人和他的品质没有分别。
And if one doesn't understand that fact,
如果一个人不能够明白这一事实的话，
then one's chanting remains on the Namaba stage.
那么这个人的唱诵会一直停留在 Namaba 这个阶段。
And improving the quality of your chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra every day isn't going to happen.
那么呢，如果你想去提高每天唱诵 Hare Krishna Maha mantra 的这个愿望，就无法达成。
Haridas Thakur is like a coach.
所以 Haridas Thakur 就像教练一样。
And he's training the athlete under his care how to do your sport nicely.
所以呢，他总是在训练他的这些运动员如何去掌握这种精湛的技艺。
But this is more than a sport. This is the goal of life.
但是呢，这比这个运动更为重要。这是关于人生目标的问题。
It's one of his characteristics. He's inspiring faith in the holy name.
那么呢，他在这里呢，是激励我们，去增加去对圣名的信心。
Even when he's cautioning about offenses.
即便一个人他在一开始的时候做出冒犯。
It's really an art.It is an art to explain, watch out for the danger at the same time you're encouraging people in the devotional service.
那么实际上这是一种艺术，就是让你去观察到你所要面临的这些危险，与此同时呢，又激励你去跨越。
He's not just shaking his finger at us.
他并不是在那里拿着手指着你。
He's encouraging, strengthening our faith in the holy name.
他是去激励我们，加强我们对圣名的信心。
And then he concludes by speaking about this objective can be reached by the mercy of a bona fide spiritual master.
在这一章结束的时候，他又总结说，只有通过一位真正灵性导师的仁慈，我们才能够达到这一阶段。
The mists of ignorance can be taken away.
我们心中愚昧这一雾霭就会被去除。
And the anarthas that arise by misunderstanding the position of the holy name can be taken away.
那么我们心中对圣名的曲解这一云尘，挡住遮住阳光的云尘也会被去除。
Patiently and faithfully.
所以我们要满怀信心，并且要有耐心。
The devotee.Following the instructions of the spiritual master gradually progresses on the path to attain pure chanting.
奉献者在踏上纯粹唱诵圣名的道路上，要去执行灵性导师的训练。
Oh, by the way, do you recognize this person here, or this person here, or this person here? It's the same person.
你们认出来这位途中的那位女奉献者了吗？
杨慕达。
She, the book that she wrote, has it been translated to Chinese?
No.
不知道她写的书是否翻译成中文。
It should really be translated to Chinese.
她的书真的是值得翻译成中文。
Devotees that have read this book, I haven't read it, they just go, wow, this is such wonderful description of Mother Jamuna's intense love.An intimate relationship with Prabhupada.
那么在他写的这本书里面浸透了他对舍帕帕德强烈的爱和这种也浸透了得知到他与舍帕帕的这种关系是如此的亲密。
Amazing relationship.
他和舍帕帕的关系真是令人惊叹不已。
I'll describe one little section, very short.
我现在的描述一下其中的一段。
One morning, very early, Srila Prabhupada was going for a morning walk.
有一天清晨，Srila Prabhupada出去清晨散步。
And like you see here, it was just Jamuna and Prabhupada.
那么你可以看到，那天早上呢，就是 Jamuna 和Srila Prabhupada两人。
And that particular morning, Prabhupada chose to walk through a field.That had tall grass. The walk was not on a paved area; it was an area where there was tall grass.
那么呢，那天早上他寻找的道路呢，就是满地的青草这样的一条道路，不是那种人行道。
And there was dew on the grass; it was wet.
那么呢，那个时候青草上还有这种水露。
So she was walking right behind Srila Prabhupada.
那个时候呢，亚摩那玛塔吉呢，他正好就在师父爸爸的身后跟着他走。
and she was meditating. This is just what the scriptures say, that you should follow the footsteps of the spiritual master.
就在那一瞬间，她脑子里就浮现了，说这就是一个人应该如何紧紧地追随自己的灵性导师的这样的一种景象场景。
But then she noticed that there were no footprints where Prabhupada was walking.
然后呢，她就注意到了舍帕帕德在青草上的这个脚印。
Then she looked behind herself, and there were footprints where she was walking.
然后呢，她往身后一看，她只看到了自己的脚印。
Then she looked again and said, "Saw there's no footprints where Prabhupada was walking."
然后呢，她就想，咦，舍帕帕的脚印怎么没了？
So then she called Prabhupada's name and said, "Prabhupada, how is it that there's no footprints where you're walking, but there's footprints where I'm walking?"
然后呢，杨木娜她现在就就叫了叫舍帕帕的，说舍帕帕的，我们在走路的时候，您的脚印怎么没了？我只看见我自己的脚印。
Prabhupada turned and smiled.
舍帕帕的回头笑了一下。
He said, "One day you will understand."
然后帕帕说，终有一天你会明白的。
He kept on walking.
然后他就继续散步。
If they don't translate the book into Chinese, then you should learn English so you can read that book.
如果这本书没有翻译成中文的话，大家应该学英文，好好读一读这本书。
What's
the name of this book?
I can't remember. Do you know the name?
Life of Devotion.
Life of Devotion.
奉爱的一生。
I brought the books back from Vrindavan, and I think happened for 3 days in Vrindavan.
It's that kind of a book. After I finish this seminar, I'm going to prepare for Tattva Sandarbha seminar, and when that's over, I'm going to read the book.
在这个课程结束时候，我会就 Tattva Sandarbha 这本书进行一个讲座。那么在这个课程过程当中呢，就会讲到这本书。
Top of the list.
是
of things to do, things that I want to do.
Ravishan Prabhu, he said he was in Vrindavan when he bought the Yamuna Devi Mataji 写的这本书，他说每一次每每读到这本书的时候，每一页都令他惊叹不已。
不是，他说他买回来就三天没干别的事就看。
三天，那
一下来一直看。
中间那一段没听清，谢谢。
And then he goes into what the Mayavadis say.
然后呢，他就说到了 Mayavadi 他们的说辞。
Get ready, here comes Mayavad philosophy.
那么大家听，大家准备好了没有？ Mayavadi 他们的哲学是这样子的。
If you're not strong, put your earplugs in.
那么呢，如果你不是那么强烈的话，那么你就把耳朵。
Here's some of the offenses they speak.
那么这是 Mayavadi 他们的做什么冒犯？
Krishna is different from his name and form.
Mayavadi 他们的理念是这样子的， Krishna 和 Krishna 的形体和他的名字是有分别的。
They say the supreme absolute truth is impersonal.
他们说至尊真理是非人格的。
And the impersonal has no qualities,No form and no changes.
那非人格的就是没有品质，也没有形体，它也没有什么变化。
Lord Vishnu's form is made of Maya.
而 Vishnu 的形体是用 Maya 组成。
And when Maya disappears, Vishnu merges into impersonal Brahman.
当 Maya 消失的时候， Vishnu 就融入到非人格 Brahman 之中。
Offensive.
就是一个冒犯。
That's what Haridas says.
这是 Haridas 说的。
These ideas are illusions, fallacies, and offensive.
他说到了这一些哲这这样的观点就是一个冒犯，都是错误的，都是谬论。
So how is a devotee to regard these teachings?
那么一个奉献者如何去对待这样的教义呢？
Saintly devotee just doesn't pay attention to these things. He just takes shelter of the holy name.
那些奉献者圣人，他们甚至都。不会去理会这样的哲学，他们只是脱离于圣名。
As far as the demigods, now this is directly on this second offense.
那关于半神人，这跟我们的第二个冒犯息息相关。
He doesn't speak against the demigods.
他们不会去 说反对这个半圣人的亵渎半圣人
or the non-Vaishnava scriptures that honor the demigods
那么呢那些非 Vaishnava 的经典他们尊敬这些半圣人
If they see a deity of a demigod, they think, oh, here's a devotee of Krishna.
然后如果他们看到了半身人的这个塑像他们说哦这是主 Vishnu, 这是主 Krishna 的奉献者。
And they see them in that way.
他们是以这样的方式去看待。
If Mayavadis worship Vishnu and offer things to Vishnu,
如果 Mayavadi 崇拜主 Vishnu, 并且向主 Vishnu 供奉
Out of fear, the devotees don't accept the remnants of those offerings.
那奉献者就会出于害怕，不会去接受这些供奉的祭品。
Just like we should also not hear the holy name chanted by a Mayavadi.
同样的，奉献者也不会去听 Mayavadi 所唱诵的圣名。
The devotees don't accept remnants from the demigods either.
而且奉献者也不会去接受供奉给半身人的祭品。
What, rather, when they worship Vishnu, they offer the remnants of Vishnu to the demigod.
相反，他们会把事先供奉给主 Vishnu 的祭品供奉给半身人。
The position of Lord Shiva is spoken about by Haridas.
Haridas 在这里也谈到了主 Shiva 的地位。
One should not think of Lord Shiva as God, in short.
那么同样的毫无疑问一个人也不应该把主 Shiva 视为至尊主。
And to think that way is a mistake, it results in anartha.
那么呢如果这样认为的话这是一种错误这是由于内心的 anartha 导致。
He's a great devotee.
主 Vishnu 是一位伟大的奉献者。
Here's a painting where he's...holding the descent of the Ganges upon his head.
这个图片呢表明了当恒河降临的时候主希瓦用他的头顶住了恒河的冲击。
So if one makes such an offense,
如果一个人做出了这样的冒犯
what's the remedy?
那如何补救呢
Someone may have thought wrongly about the demigods and their position in relation to Vishnu.
然后可能有的人他们错误的去思考但是人与至尊主之间的关系
Once through the association of devotees they get the proper understanding
当他们和奉献者有着这种恰当的联谊的时候他们就能够明白其中的道理
They repent the mistake and they offer their apologies to Lord Vishnu and his devotees
那么他们呢会为自己忏悔并且呢向主 Vishnu 向奉献者道歉表明他们先前的错误的理解是错误的
and Krishna and the devotees of Krishna are naturally very forgiving
那么当然了 Krishna 的奉献者和 Krishna 是非常是原谅他人的
now just one thought here in China demigod worship is not a big deal
那么在中国崇拜半神人不是一个什么大事
worship of ancestors is a big deal
那么呢在中国呢崇拜祭祖是比较司空见惯的
But just wait
但是呢我们来看等一下
Through course of time more people from China are going to go to India learn about yoga from a yoga teacher that worships demigods and they come back and they become demigod worshippers
那么呢
and they teach their students about demigod worship
那么随着时间的流逝越来越多的一些中国的对瑜伽感兴趣的这些兴趣爱好者或者是瑜伽老师他们经常的去到印度在那里学习关于瑜伽的这些知识然后在也从那里学到了关于崇拜半身人于是他们把这种对崇把半神的这种崇拜会带回到中国然后或许会教给他的学生如此呢就在中国就会有越来越多的人去做半神人的崇拜
I won't name any names
我
I won't mention the names of some prominent yoga teachers that are worshippers of demigods
那么呢我也不会提到他们的名字他们经常就是 带一些这样的瑜伽老师去到印度
Right here in China.
就在中国。
And if you don't know about it, soon enough you'll know about it. Because it'll become more prominent.
那么呢如果你们不知道的很快你们就了解到这一事实。 那越来越多的人就会去崇拜半圣人在中国。
Now, thanks to Haridas Thakur, we will have an idea of the correct understanding and how to help those people come to the correct understanding.
那么呢，现在我们非常感谢哈利达斯塔库，让我们去有了对他们都有了一个正确的了解，并且能够通过这个正确的了解去帮助其他人得到这样的正确的了解。
So here's the last slide of the chapter.
这是这一章的最后一章幻灯片。
Here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
这是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Concluding by saying, he just wants to stay at the lotus feet of.Haridas.
他在最后这一章的最后说到了，他 Harinam Chintamani 是我的生命，是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的生命。Bhaktivinoda Thakur 一直驻留在 Haridas 的足下。
So we'll take some questions, and depending upon how long that takes, we'll go to the next chapter.
那么呢，我们现在呢是提问时间，看大家的这个提问时间的长短，能够决定我们下一章会学习多少。
Thank you, Maharaj. It seems that the chanting of Hare Krishna is the possession of the Vaishnavas.
Possession.
Yeah,
it seems that the chanting of the holy name is the possession of the Vaishnavas, and anyone who is not a Vaishnava who chants the holy name may fall into the category of Mayavada. Is that the correct reasoning?
Or not necessarily. Okay, go ahead, translate.
那么呢，唱诵圣名是一位 Vaishnava 的这种地位，他的这种地位。如果不唱诵圣名的话，可能有的人就会去追随那些 Mayavadi 的这种教义。
For some people, it's just musical entertainment.
那么呢，有些人呢，他们就像是把它视作是音乐的一种娱乐。
They're not, you know, ardent Mayavadis.
他们
you know, ardent, strong, willed.
那么呢，他们有这种强烈的这种愿望。
The first chanting I heard was from a Broadway musical called Hair.
那么呢，我第一次听到 Hare Krishna 的这个唱诵的时候，是一个音乐人士唱的。
And that's Stobha Namabas, just musical.
那么呢，这被称为 Stobha Namabas, 他们就是把它当作一个音乐。去唱诵
but not necessarily.
但是不一定
Devotees, they get, you know, they hear stuff on the internet of different people chanting Hare Krishna. They love the melody, they sing along, they buy the CDs, and it becomes standard.
那么现在奉献者呢，就在网上有很多各种各样的关于 Hare Krishna 的这种旋律，所以他们就一听了以后都特别喜欢，就把它当下来，然后呢就开始学着唱，就好像成了一种这种标准了一样。
Well, there's a difference between Namabas and Namaparada.
那么 Namabas 和 Namaparada 之间是有不同的。
Such people who are ardent Mayavadis who do that singing, that's Namaparad.
那那些 Mayavadi 他们所唱诵的这种形式，他唱诵的这种心态是以 Namaparad 是被圣名的冒犯。
I shared that with the devotees here yesterday.
我昨天的时候跟这几个奉献者来分享了这个话题。
We should be very careful from whom we hear the holy name, or from whom we hear.Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, because if their heart is oriented towards impersonalism, we'll be poisoned.
那么如果我们所以作为奉献者，我们应该特别小心翼翼的去注意到，我们从谁那里聆听这些 Hare Krishna 的唱诵，我们从谁那里去，从谁那里聆听他们讲述圣典国家瓦坛。我们千万不要去聆听一个内心完全受到非应格思想主导的这样的一个人的唱诵和讲述。
Kirtan has so much become part of the yoga scene all over the world now.
All over the world.
We don't know anymore anyone chants Hare Krishna, they wouldn't come along and we chant with them. You know, where is the danger?
That's naive.It's dangerous.
那么呢，在世界上现在越来越多的这些瑜伽爱好者，就是在瑜伽的这种节目当中唱诵都成了一个主要的其中的一个主要的部分。现在世界上各 全世界的各地的这些瑜伽的兴趣爱好者，他们也在唱诵着这个 Hare Krishna Mantra， 很难区分，很难去去区分谁的这个唱诵是恰当的或不恰当。所以呢，这是非常危险的一种情况。
This is a subject matter I don't want to get into too much.
那么关于这个话题呢，我就不那么深入的去探讨。
There are devotees that have a mission of helping those people become devotees.
那奉献者他身兼着这样的使命，帮助他人成为奉献者。
Something that we heard earlier in this chapter is that's possible.
那么我们在这一章的前面的部分讲到的内容，通过这样去做就能够做到这一点，能够达成这一点。
The opposite is also possible.
而且呢，这个相反也是如此。
The opposite meaning a well-intending devotee can become contaminated just by sound vibration.
那么呢，也就是说，一个奉献者他只是通过这种音振也会受到污染。
It may show in subtle ways initially, but you know, poison.Is poison.
那么呢，毒药就是毒药，但这种阴症它的这种影响是非常轻微的。
And poison certainly can be transmitted through sound.
所以呢，那么这种毒药呢，也可以转变成一种阴症的形式。
It's a nice subject matter that will take a lot of time if that's what we just talked about.
那么呢，这是一个非常好的一个话题，需要时间去探讨。那么今天我们就不就这个话题非常深入的去探讨。
I fully support Radhacharan's concern.
所以我是非常赞同 Radhacharan Prabhu 在这里提到的所关注的这一点。
I mentioned it yesterday.
那么昨天就这个话题我也谈到过。
Protect your innocence by not going to hear other than devotees chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
所以呢，我们要保持我们内心的这种纯真，不要去聆听那些非奉献者的他们的这种唱诵。
Here's the way Prabhupada said it.
其实Prabhupada是这样说的。
This was in a recording that he made in 1967.
这是在他是一九。是1967年他的这个讲课录音。
Chanting should be heard as far as possible from the lips of a pure devotee.
我们应该尽可能的去聆听纯粹奉献者所唱出的圣名。
By hearing from others, it is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent, it may have poisonous effects.
如果去聆听其他人唱诵圣名的话，就像是毒蛇的嘴所触碰到的牛奶一样。
Okay, so something else? Question?
其他人有什么问题吗？
No questions, we'll go to the next chapter.
如果大家没有问题的话，我们讲下一章节。
Yes.
Mara 有一个问题，就是刚才 Radhacharan Prabhu 提的这个，我接着他的问一下，就是主在丹江巴哈帕布的使命是把圣名传遍乡村和城镇，那么如果我传给一个人，这个人不是奉献者，但是他喜欢唱，他又把这个名字传到别的人那儿，那这是不是一种冒犯呢？还是应该这么做？谢谢。
So, just continue Radhacharan Prabhu's question. So,to spread the holy name all over the world to every town and city is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So if I introduce Hare Krishna Mahamantra to a person who is not a devotee, but this person likes chanting very much and he gives Hare Krishna Mahamantra to others.So, to do it is kind of offense.
No.
这不是一种冒犯。
That's how the Hare Krishna movement spread.
这就是我们库什纳知觉运动是如何壮大发展。
Who are we to, you know, be transmitters of something pure?
那么呢，我们到底是谁？
There was a study done by a sociologist named Stilson Judah.
那么呢，有一个社会学家，他的名字叫 Stilson Judah.
He had a lot of affection for Prabhupada. He lived in California.
那么那个时候呢，他住在加利福尼亚，他非常喜爱释迦牟尼。
He was a sociology professor.
他是一位社会学教授。
And one of the things he did is he studied, he interviewed many, many devotees, those who had become devotees.
他呢，采访了很多的奉献者，或者是那些将要成为奉献者的人。
To study their, you know, becoming devotees, or, you know, what's it called? You know, when you change the religion from this one to that one.
那么就是他研究了这些人是如何成为奉献者这个过程。就是从一种信仰转入改变
conversion, religious conversion
那就是转变
so he found out that most of the devotees large percentage of the devotees had found out about Krishna consciousness through someone who wasn't so serious but they were the carrier of the message and then they said oh this is a good thing so they came to the temple and became a devotee
然后就发现了大多数奉献者他们是这样成为奉献者的这些后来成为奉献者的这些人呢他们以前是从那些不是那么认真的去唱诵圣名的那些人那里得到了 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 然后他们就去到庙里逐渐的成为了奉献者
That's not an offense
所以呢这不是一个冒犯
那我再问如果这个人我传的这个人是一个 Mayavadi那么刚才因为我们的结论是 Mayavadi 如果唱的话他会有是变成不要的对吧那么如果这个人是个 Mayavadi 但是他传的别的人那别的人听到的是不是还是一种冒犯
So my question is that if I introduce Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to a Mayavadi and because the conclusion of the section is that we should not hear the chanting from the mouth of the Mayavadi but if such a Mayavadi he very interesting and introduce Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to others and the others become devoted so
well be discriminating
所以呢我们应该就是应该有区分
and just like our pranam mantra for Srila Prabhupada
就像是我对 Srila Prabhupada 的 pranam mantra 顶拜祷文
nirvishesha shunyavadi pasyacha desatari Srila Prabhupada delivered the Hare Krishna Maha mantra to the western world which is filled with impersonalism and voidism
那么 Srila Prabhupada 将 Srila Prabhupada 的讯息传播到了充满非格主义和虚无主义的西方国家
So be discriminating.
所以呢，我们要进行区分。
But the idea is to help persons who are so influenced in that way to become influenced by bhakti instead of influenced that way.
所以呢，那么我们要向他传教的过程当中，要知道我们应该给他们的是这种 bhakti 的这种影响，而不是受到相反受到他们的影响。
And once you put that valuable holy name in someone's hand.
当我们把圣名把 Krishna 的圣名这一宝物放在他的手中的时候
It's true they can misuse it
他肯有的时候他们真的是会滥用或者是误用
It's like if we distribute prasadam
就像是我们去派发 prasadam
It's beneficial
这是对他人有好处的
But some people take prasadam and treat it you know offensively they throw it and
但是有的人呢把菩萨的门扔到一边这是一个比较冒犯性的 举动
We have to be discriminating but we also have to give prasadam
当然了我们应该有这样的区分的能力但是与此同时呢还要继续派发菩萨的
Same with the holy name be discriminating but we must give the holy name
所以呢同样的在派发圣名的时候我们也应该有这种区分判断
So we're ready for the next chapter, or are there more questions?
那么我们现在是进入到下一章，还是有人还有更多的其他的问题提出？
马上这
个
yes
我们因为打开心扉在修圣名的话，你讲到说要建立修行，要建立对圣名的信心。您提到就讲到说这个要增加对圣名信心信心呢，通过这个圣莲聆听圣莲波雅瓦坛可以建立对圣名的信心。我想知道呢，除了圣莲波雅瓦坛以外，还有哪些方面可以建立对圣名的信心？一个初习者应该选择哪些方面？首先选择哪些方面建立对圣名的信心？哎，可以说。
So we said that in order to open our hearts to accept the gift of Holy Name, so we should establish the relationship with the Holy Name.
Yeah.
So in order to establish the relationship with the Holy Name, so you also mentioned that we should read Srimad Bhagavatam or hear Srimad Bhagavatam help us to establish such a relationship with the Holy Name.
Yes.
And I'd like to know, there is other means to establish the relationship with the Holy Name besides Srimad Bhagavatam, and as a neophyte devotee, is there any other ways to establish the relationship with the Holy Name?
Sure.
当然有。
The all of the other processes of bhakti assist.
那么所有奉爱服务的所有的其他的这些方法，各种各样的奉爱服务的方法，都有助于我们建立与圣灵的关系。
Like deity worship.
例如从神像崇拜。
One assists the other.
那么呢，它是互相相辅相成的。
We're going to hear about association with spiritual master.
而且我们在这里也拖到了与灵性导师的联谊。
And that helps also.
这也能够帮助我们。
The processes of bhakti are all feeding into this one primary beneficial thing, the chanting of the Holy Name.
那么呢，奉爱服务的各种各样的方法都能够相辅相成，并且呢，能够帮助我。其中最重要的一点就是唱诵圣名，能够帮助我们去提高。
With that, I'm going to move on to chapter 6.
我们现在学习第六章。
This is the third offense listed in Padma Purana.
这是在 Padma Purana 里面罗列的第三条对圣名的冒犯。
And the Sanskrit term is Guru Avagya.
这里梵文词是 Guru Avagya.
Avagya.
Avagya. Guru Avagya.
Very good. So to disobey the orders of the spiritual master is how Prabhupada has translated this one.
那么释迦牟尼佛的把这个 Guru Avagya 翻译成的就是违背灵性导师的训令。
Now let's see what he writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那我们来看看 Chaitanya Charitamrita 是怎么写的。
Again, for those of you that weren't here the first day, we passed out a sheet that was the Chinese presentation of Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 24.
那么呢，我们在第一天，就发了一个资料。这个资料的第一页呢，就写到的是中文译文里面就写到 Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 中篇第八章二十四诗节。
And if we could borrow your sheet, then she can read in Chinese.
译文亵渎传播 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 荣耀的伟大圣人是在圣灵的莲花足下做最严重的冒犯。一个人不该批评传播 Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 荣耀的传教士，如果这么做就是冒犯者。 Nala Prabhu 跟 Krishna 是一样的，绝不会容忍这样亵渎的行为。即便亵渎行为是被看作是伟大奉献者做的。
I find this very interesting, how Prabhupada has taken Guru Avagya and had extended it to say that seeing the spiritual master as material and therefore envying his exalted position.
那么我在这里看到是帕帕德把这一点延伸了，这是被咕噜阿瓦基亚的这个意思延伸到了，是灵性导师为是物质的，并且呢，因此而嫉妒他崇高的地位。对这一点，我感到觉得很有意思。
First, let's start with this word avagya.
我们首先来解释一下 avagya.
What does avagya mean?
Avagya 是什么意思？
Avagya means neglect.
Avagya 的意思是忽视。
So remember, the first offense was sadhu ninda, means speaking nasty things about an exalted Vaishnava.
大家还记得第一条冒犯吧？就是 sadhu ninda. Ninda 的意思是说出亵渎、批评。地位崇高的麦西纳瓦这样的话语。
And this one is just to neglect instructions received.
而这一条呢，是忽视所得到的训令。
It's much milder.
所以呢，这比起来呢，好像要轻一点。
Not obeying someone, you know, something is said by the spiritual master and you just take it or leave it. Don't do it.
那么呢，就是你得到灵性导师训令，但是呢，没有按照他的训示去执行。
Disobeying the orders of the spiritual master.
去违背灵性导师的训令。
So what Prabhupada has done here is he's written that what's behind that is seeing the spiritual master as material, take it or leave it.
那么，释迦帕帕德他就在解释了背后的进一步的深意，他说，实际上这样的人，他认为灵性导师是物质。
As one may have a material idea of the holy name, one may have a material idea of the representative of Krishna, spiritual master.
就像是一个人对圣名带着这种物质的理解，或者是带着这种物质的心态去看待圣名。同样的，他们对Krishna 的代表也会带着这种物质的想法去看待。
And there's something that naturally accompanies material visions.
而且呢，他们自然而然的就是这是一种物质的视力。
Envy.
接下来就会发展出这种嫉妒。
Here's this person where people are paying attention, and I'd like people to pay attention to me.
那么呢，他就看到了，这样的一个人受到众人的关注，而我想成为众人关注的中心。
It may be subtle, or it may be gross, or somewhere in between.
那么呢，可能他会就是从行为上，也许会表达出来，也许他的这种想法是一种精微形式的想法，或者是介于粗糙和精微二者之间。
But the behavior is.Not carrying out the instructions of the spiritual master.
但是他们的行为举止表现出来的就是不去执行灵性导师的训令。
Haridas is saying that's an offense to the holy name.
Haridas 说道，这就是对圣名的一种冒犯。
Let's see some other things that Prabhupada speaks.
然后我们来看看释迦帕帕德是如此是怎么说的。
This is from a room conversation where Prabhupada is explaining.The 10 offenses one by one.
这是释迦帕帕德在一次在室内谈话讲到的，一个一个的讲到了对圣名的冒犯。
Translate.
Guru Avagya 忽视灵性导师的训示，如果他的训示被违背了，如果他没有被取悦，那么 Yasya Prasada Nagati Kutopi.那么冒犯者就没有庇护所，他就被扔进了旷野荒野之中，因此灵性导师的训令应该被严格的得以执行。
So the positive is follow the instructions of the spiritual master.
那么呢，积极的一面就是我们去遵守灵性导师的训示。
And the negative is neglecting the instructions of the spiritual master.
那么负面呢，就是去忽视灵性导师的训令，或者是不执行他的训令。
So that's disobedience.
所以呢，那么这就是一种不会取悦人，不会取悦灵性导师。
Something that I very much appreciated about Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
我对 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的有就是一种欣赏。
This is my observation.
那么呢，这是从我个人的角度来说的。
He trained his disciples in a very personal way.
他以非常个人的方式去训练他的门徒。
And one of the principles that he trained was obedience to the spiritual master.
而他的这个培训的训练的原则就是一定要去执行灵性导师的训示。
He learned that from Prabhupada.
他是从师的帕帕德那里学到的。
And he passed it on to his disciples.
并且他把这个传递给了他的门徒。
And as a result, his disciples were very good devotees, very, very disciplined and respectful and well trained.
所以呢，那么这样做的结果呢，就是他的这些门徒都是非常优秀的奉献者，他们非常就是训练有素，而且严格的遵守规范。
Now, how he did that?
怎么做到这一点？
Not everyone could understand.
甚至都不能明白。
Because he was really heavy.
而且我们都知道他就是他有的时候非常的就是很严厉。
One of the places I visit in America is Houston, Texas.
那么有一次呢我去走访了德克萨斯州的这个休斯顿。
And I happened to be in Houston on the day of Tamal Krishnamurti's Vyasa Puja.
那么呢那天我去休斯顿的那天正好是Tamal Krishna Goswami 的显现日 Vyasa Puja 那一天。
So they invited me to attend the function.
所以呢他们就邀请我参加了这样的一个仪式。
I was happy to attend the function.
我非常高兴地参加了 Vyasa Puja.
So I spoke something of my appreciation and experience of his association.
所以呢我就表达了我对 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的这种感激和欣赏。
And then the devotees read there and spoke something about Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
然后还有接下来其他的奉献者也一一的讲述了他们关于 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的事迹。
There were many different voices, each very personal and individual.
那么呢，有很多人都各自的表达了自己的心情和感情，每一个人所表达的方式都是非常个人的。
But there's one thing that they all share.
那么呢，他们虽然有这么多人去表达他们的这种心情
they,
但是他们非常的主题是一个
They described in their own words how Tamal Krishna Maharaj they used the gave them the sauce he smashed them、
然后呢因为所谓的这些奉献者他们的一致的口吻就是 Tamal Krishna Goswami 有的时候非常的严厉几乎要把你给碾碎
Everyone said it
每个人都是这么说的。
Very strong in his discipline.
他说到了，他非常的对，就是严格的要求，很严格的要求，遵守纪律，很强烈。
There's a saying that Prabhupada would repeat sometimes.
是的，帕帕有的时候他会重复这样的一句话。
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
他说到了政权。
Don't punish your children and they'll be spoiled.
严父出孝子。
Discipline your children, otherwise they'll be spoiled.
严父出孝子就是政权底下出孝子。棍棒底下出孝子。
That was not a fault of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. He didn't fail to discipline his disciples.
那么呢，实际上这并不是 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的一个缺点，因为他非常的严格要求他的门徒。
So they became good disciples.
所以呢，他们就成为了优秀的门徒。
Either that or they went away.
那么是他没有一个人走掉。
But if you were Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disciple, you were ready to accept discipline.
那么呢，如果你是 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的门徒的话，你肯定会接受这样的纪律的培训。
And that was good.
这是很好的。
Because when they heard him say something, they did it.
因为他们一听了 Tamal Krishna Goswami 说什么，他们就会依言而行。
And what he said was what was good for them.
而且他说的是对门徒非常有好处的。
It wasn't fear, it was love.
这不是这不是一种害怕，这是一种爱。
Right?
难道不是吗？
Yes, Maharaj.
是的 Maharaj.
You had association with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, right, Nishinga Maharaj?
Nishinga Maharaj, 你也得到了 Tamal Krishna Goswami 的这种深深的联谊。
Strict disciplinarian, yes?
那他对这种纪律是要求很严的，是不是？
very loving at the same time.
但同时呢，他是如此的怀着深爱。
He made sure those were his disciples didn't fall into this problem.
所以呢，他总是确保他的门徒不会冒犯这一条，不会就是违反这一条。
If instructions were neglected, they heard about it.
如果他听说有谁没有严格的你执行他的训示，你是老师的训示。
So he was very kind.
所以呢，他是非常的仁慈。
Now, what time am I supposed to end?
我应该在什么时候结束啊？
五点半。
5:30
Okay. I'll go a little bit longer and then we'll see if there's some discussion.
那么呢，我现在多讲一点，看看时间的安排。
Now this chapter 6, Haridas begins with a different glorification of Panchatattva.
那么在这一章的时候 ，Haridas Thakur 一开始的时候，用另一段献给 Panchatattva 的祷文开始。
He starts directly glorifying Panchatattva.
他一开始就荣耀了 Panchatattva。
And then all glories to Radha Madhava.
然后说到了一切荣耀归于 Radha Madhava.
All glories to Navadvip.
一切荣耀归于 Navadvip.
All glories to Brajadham.
一切荣耀归于 Brajadham.
All glories to the river Jamuna.
一切荣耀归于 Jamuna.
And all glories to all the Vaishnavas.
所有的荣耀，所有的荣耀归于所有 Vaishnava.
So he's pretty ecstatic about this chapter.
所以呢，他以这一章，以这个祷文开始。
Again, Haridas is exhibiting his qualification to receive the holy name.
在这里呢 ，Haridas 又阐明了接受圣名的资格。
He's extremely humble.
他是非常非常极度谦卑的。
He's going to speak the highest truths about the holy name.
他准备来讲述圣名这一至为最为崇高的真理。
But he's feeling himself the humble instrument of Lord Chaitanya.
但是他感受到自己是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 手中的谦卑的工具。
So then he says he's going to describe the offenses that arise from disrespecting the spiritual master.
Haridas Thakur 在这里描述到了他将讲述违背灵性导师的训令所导致的所有冒犯。
And how this offense occurs. Whoops.
那这样的冒犯是怎么会发生的呢
？Okay. So I'm going to skip this. This is too much. It takes a long. Okay. So, a soul. This is one of the primary topics at the beginning.
就是在一开始就谈论到了一个话题。
A soul residing in the world of birth and death upon obtaining a human body.Must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master.
一个在充满生死的世界，居住在充满生与死的世界当中的灵魂，他们一旦得到了人类的形体，就应该脱离于一位真正的灵性导师。
And then he asked the question why.
然后他就问了一个问题，为什么呢
？Then he gives the answer.
接下来他给出了答案。
Here's the Sanskrit, or excuse me, the.Bengali of that verse.
这是孟加拉诗文。
Quoting very much Prahlad Maharaj's verse in sixth canto, excuse me, seventh canto Bhagavatam.
那么这个诗节呢，跟在盛典国家瓦坛 Prahlad Maharaj 所说的一个诗节很类似。
The human form of life is very rare.
他在这里说到了人类的形体是非常罕有的。
It's very difficult to attain.
是很难以获得的。
Durlabha, Shubhada, and very fortunate.
而且是非常幸运的。
Even though it's temporary,
即便这个人类的形体是短暂的。
We should utilize this human form of life very carefully.
我们应该小心地运用我们的人类的形体。
Amongst all this 8,400,000 species of life, there's only 400,000 of them that are in the human form.
那么在840万种生物种类当中，有400万种是人类。
And when one comes to this human form, there's a special privilege and potential.
那么当一个人获得了，就可以获得了人形之躯的时候，他就有可能能够到达生命的最高的目标。
We can achieve the highest goal of life.
他就能啊，他就。他就急着在不知不觉的从事千层活动的力量下， 可以到达，使其能够到达最高的人生的目标。
Life forms that are lower, they don't have the capacity to get this knowledge.
那么呢，在其他的比较低等的生命种类当中是没有这种机会获得这样的知识的。
Their creatures are filled with ignorance.
那么其他的这些生物的种类属于在愚昧属性当中。
They like eating flies.
例如像这个飞鸟。
不。
马苍蝇。苍蝇，
青蛙，
青蛙，
那个，
青蛙在吃这个苍蝇，
蜘蛛
fly， 苍蝇。
Anyway， the soul is restricted， its independence is minimized by that embodiment。
那么呢，他们在这样的躯体当中，他们的这种独立性受到了极度的限制。
And so there isn't even facility to perform spiritual activities in this lower life form.
所以呢，他们在低等的生物种类当中呢，就没有这种便利去做进行灵修的活动。
In the body of a demigod, the tendency for enjoying is so strong.
那么在半神的躯体当中，灵魂或许他就是他的这种感官享乐很多。
From their past pious deeds.
那么他们或许只顾着去享受过往虔诚活动的结果。
There's enormous opulence.
他们有着这种，他们非常的富裕。
And the tendency to enjoy that opulence is very strong.
而且他们想要去享受这些物质的富裕的倾向非常强烈。
So there's less inclination to do spiritual activity there.
所以呢，他们就是有很，就是对于他们来说，也没有那么多的便利去从事这样的灵性的活动。
You recognize this painting, yes?
大家看出了这个图片当中的人物了吧
？The two sons of the treasurer of heaven, Kuvera.
这两个儿子是财神 Kuvera 的两个儿子。
They're standing naked before Narada Muni.
他们在 Narada Muni 面前浑身赤裸的。
Because they were intoxicated.
因为那个时候他们喝醉了。
And they were intoxicated with pride also because of their opulent condition.
因为他们为自己的这种富裕而感到骄傲，他们醉醺醺的。
They weren't used to going to Mangalarti every morning and chanting their 16 rounds.
他们甚至
They weren't doing their sadhana bhakti.
他们不会去从事这个 sadhana bhakti. 他们也不会早上七点钟去参加 mangalarti， 每天念诵十六圈。
Too busy enjoying.
因为他们忙于享乐。
So even when this human form of life is very special，
即便人形之躯是非常特殊的。
But one may get the human form of life and not utilize it to reach higher consciousness.
但是呢，即便是一个人得到了人形之躯，但是不去好好的利用，去到达更高的知觉状态。
Similar to what Prahlad says.
Prahlad 也说了同样的话。
Some states are too young.
有的时候，太年轻，搞这个。
Too much in love.
还有呢，太沉迷于这种爱恋。
Too busy.
太忙。
Too old.
太老。
Too late.
到最后就是太迟了。
太晚了。
太晚了。
死了，太晚了。
Here's a little cartoon about people doing
iPhone
kirtan for Apple computers.
那么这是一个卡通，就是人们在那里高呼着苹果电脑，苹果电脑。这是他们的曼陀罗。
Instead of chanting Hare Krishna, they're glorifying Apple computers.
那么他们没有唱诵 Hare Krishna， 而是在唱诵的苹果电脑。
And then there's others who take initiation, but they have a hard time following the regulations.
还有另一类就是他们在启迪的时候，接受启迪的时候，他们不容易去遵守。对于遵守四项基本原则来说，是一件困难的事儿。
Here's the four rules.
上面写的是四项规范原则。
And this spiritual master says absolutely no Facebook.
然后这个灵性老师说到了，绝对没有 Facebook 面谱。
Look at how happy she is.
你看看，这图中的这位女士多高兴啊！
No Facebook.
吓坏了。
吓坏了，吓坏了。他而且没有这个 Facebook。
我怎么活呀？
我怎么活呀？吓坏了。
In China, you don't use Facebook?
No.
No,
no,
no.
Fantastic. I don't either.
太好了。But we have a WeChat.
Facebook,
YouTube, Twitter, all the devotees.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.都是一整套
儿。说实话，这个国内啊 ，Twitter、Facebook 都记不清，但是呢，微信呢是把这几样全包括在一块儿。
是
，includes WeChat includes everything。
而且微信是一天二十四小时。
More powerful than Facebook.
More powerful than Facebook.
Okay. I don't know about these things.
那个微信不知道是怎么回事。
So there's the human form of life for you.
这就是人体生命。
Here's a little cartoon. This young boy here is saying.
然后这个小孩他这样说了。
Well, Dad.
Oh.
I didn't believe in reincarnation when I was your age either.
那他就这么说。哦，爸爸呀，当我是你这个年龄的时候，我才不相信什么是轮回呀。我也不相信什么是轮回。
我不相信轮回。
That means this little boy.In his previous life, he was an old man. And when he was an old man in his previous life, he didn't believe in reincarnation. Now here he is in his next life, a little boy.
那么这就意味着这个小孩子以前也是一个老人。他在那个老人的时候，他不相信轮回。然后下一辈子，他是一个孩子的样子，他仍然不相信轮回。
Little humor.
当然这是一个小幽默。
So, Haridas says... Even if one gets this human form of life, if he doesn't endeavor for self-realization very carefully, again and again, he takes his birth, an endless cycle of birth and death.
那么在哈里达斯的库在这里说到了，人行之需是巨大的恩赐。若不努力觉悟自我，便会一次又一次不断的在生死当中轮回。
Rather, an intelligent person.Use this human form of life properly.
相反，那些智者会善用这含有的人形生命。
And Haridas says that that intelligence leads one to search for a spiritual master.
那么在这里面说到了，这些智者他们需要寻找一位能够引领人真达至尊主的灵性导师。
So we're going to hear from Haridas some of the qualifications.When you're searching for a spiritual master, what to look for?
那接下来 Haridas 就描述了，在我们去寻找一位灵性导师的时候，我们应该培养的一些资格和品质。
Here's the Bengali of this verse number 5 from chapter 6.
这是圣灵点睛时第六章第五十节，这是孟加拉文。
Here he's saying, Punaraya Bhave.Anitya Sharira, endlessly we get bodies, one after the next.
那么这里面说到了，就是永无休止的得到一个躯体接着一个躯体。
So we should endeavor for supreme consciousness, otherwise endless birth and death.
所以呢，我们应该去发展神圣的知觉，而不是纠缠于无休止的生死轮回。
The devotee that prepared this slideshow, I'm not really sure why they put this slide, but I left it.
这是这个奉献者放进去的这样的一个幻灯片。
There's a cup of water in the middle of a desert.
那么就在这个图片表示的是在一片沙漠当中有一杯水。
So when you're in a desert,
当你在
you want water.
当你行走在沙漠中的时候，你想要水。
Getting water is...Essential when you're in a desert.
那么在沙漠当中，水格外的重要。
So this material existence is desert-like.
所以呢，我们这个物质的生活，物质的生命就像是沙漠。
And we very much need, as in a desert, we need water. In this material existence, we need a spiritual master.
同样的，在沙漠当中，水是极为重要的。同样的，在物质世界里，灵魂，他每一个人。他们对于他们来说，寻找一位灵性导师是至为重要的。
Haridas says that it's the spiritual master is like a captain of the boat to help us cross the ocean of material existence.
Haridas 在这里说到，灵性导师就像船长一样，指引我们跨越生死的海洋。
And the Krishna Bhakta Lakshana Ye Guru, the main qualification of spiritual master is they're very strong in Krishna Bhakti.
那么在这里面说到的 Krishna Bhakta Lakshana Ye Guru 就是指的是灵性导师他的这种资格和他的品质。
So he describes what to do when you find such a person.
那么也就是说到了当你找到了这样的一位灵性导师的时候你应该怎么做？
You should inquire.
你应该去询问他。
You should serve.
应该服务他。
Accept initiation.
并且接受他的启迪。
In this way, gradually the soul can cross over the ocean of birth and death.
通过这种方式逐渐的一个灵魂一个人就会逐渐的跨越生死的海洋。
Sometimes it is said that this human form of life is like a boat.
有的时候我们把人形之躯比作一只船。
That's meant for crossing the ocean.
这只船呢应该载人渡过生死之洋。
And the spiritual master is like the captain of the boat.
而灵性导师就像是这艘船上的船长。
And the instructions of the scriptures are like favorable breezes.
而灵性导师的训示或教导就像是顺风一样。
But we also need a steering mechanism, the rudder, so you can go in the right direction.
那么我们首先我们也需要这个方向盘我们也需要指南针。去指导我们的航向。
And here's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary or his footnotes on this section.
这是Bhaktivinoda Thakur关于这一部分的注脚或注释。
Here's a very expert swimmer.
在这个海里面有一个技艺精湛的游泳者。
No swimmer can cross the ocean.
没有一个这样技艺精湛的游泳者能够跨越海洋。
However expert.
无论他多么的技艺精湛
one needs a boat, one needs a captain of the boat.
所以呢一个人需要有船需要船只需要船长
We shouldn't simply use our own intelligence to make our way to Krishna.
我们不能够只是依靠自己的力量或智慧去到达彼岸
And a person who tries to go beyond birth and death on their own effort is a fool.
如果一个人他试图只是凭靠自己的力量去跨越生死之海海洋的话他就是一个傻瓜
Sumati Ashraye Here's Haridas Thakur recommending
这是 Haridas Thakur 的忠告
We shouldn't use our material logic It's not going to get you very far
那么我们不应该运用我们无用的物质的逻辑
Take shelter of teachings that come from a spiritual master, otherwise you'll become very bewildered.
那我们应该去脱避于灵性导师的教导，去脱避于一位真正的灵性导师，否则的话，我们就会困惑。
When identifying a spiritual master who you may wish to take shelter of, the most important qualification.
当你寻找到了一位你值得你去脱避的灵性导师的时候，那么一个人应该培养这样的一个美好的品质。
More important than the type of occupation they have.
那么呢，比他的这种职位或者头衔或者他的阶层更为重要。
It is described right here, Krishna Tattva Veta. They know the science of Krishna.
这里面说到了 Krishna Tattva Veta， 那意味着这样的一位人，他了解关于 Krishna 的科学。
A spiritual master may come from any occupation or any ashram.
可能一位灵性导师他是来自于任何一个 ashram 或者是任何一个阶层。
The external circumstances, he says, are really insignificant.
这里面说到了一个外在的这种他的出生是无关紧要的。
One who is conversant with the science of Krishna is a qualified spiritual master.
那么更为重要的是一位灵性导师他了精通 Krishna 的科学这才是他的真正的。
And regardless of their ashram, that qualified spiritual master that knows the science of Krishna is like a kalpa vriksha tree.
那么呢这里面也说到了 无论深埋是 Brahma 还是书的，无论是居士还是 Sanyasi， 一位真正的灵性导师就好比如愿树，一个了解关于 Krishna 科学的人，他就好比如愿树 Kalpa Viksha。
In addition to their knowing the science of Krishna，
那么不仅他了解关于 Krishna 的科学
，their personal qualities are very important。
他们自身的品质也是非常重要的。
Then I just touch on this Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, and then we're going to end and see if there's discussion.
关于这个 Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru 都得应该是平等的去尊重他们。
He explains this teaching that we're all familiar with.
那么在这里所讲的教导，大家都是比较熟知的。
The Diksha Guru gives mantra, and the Shiksha Guru gives instructions on Sambandha Gyan.
Diksha Guru 给出曼陀罗 ，Shiksha Guru 给出了训示，或者是关于 Sambandha Gyan 的知识。
There may be only one Diksha Guru, but there may be many Shiksha Gurus.
可能一个人他只有一位接受一位启灯灵性导师，但是一个人可能会 也会有很多的训示灵性导师。
And both should be honored equally.
无论是灵性训示灵性导师还是启灯灵性导师，我们都应该给予相同的尊敬。
Those of you that have taken the disciple course.This is like the disciple course given by Haridas Thakur.
那么这一部分呢，就像是 Haridas Thakur 在上门徒课程一样。
So now here's a little graphic saying the same thing. Diksha Guru gives mantra.
这里面呢也说了同样的话题。Diksha Guru 给出曼陀罗。
Shiksha Guru gives Sambandha Gyan.
Shiksha Guru 给出 Sambandha Gyan.
And.Both categories by giving the holy name, are to be honored.
那么呢，这两者他们给出的这个后圣名都受到尊崇。
So, other qualifications is that the spiritual master follows specific succession.
还有灵性导师的其他的品质，就是一位灵性导师他们。
Interesting that Bhaktivinoda Thakur used this Adi Acharya term.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在这里运用了 Adi Acharya 这个术语。
In ISKCON, we're familiar with Founder Acharya.
在 ISKCON 当中，我们对创办灵性导师这个词比较熟。
He uses this Adi Acharya to refer to.Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, like that.
那Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在这里用 Adi Acharya， 它指的是像这个 Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya 和 Nimbarka Acharya 等等。
And within ISKCON, for us, it's our founder Acharya. Anyone subsequent to our founder Acharya must.Have proper regard for the teachings and the position of founder Acharya.
那么呢，在我们ISKCON当中的创办灵性导师，我们应该去给予他这种最为尊崇的这种地位。
Then Haridas says, after having taken shelter, the disciple does not accept any contradictory teachings or any other initiation.
那么在这里Haridas Thakur 也说到了一个人。他在脱敏之后，门徒不会接受任何与教导或者是另一次启迪相矛盾的。
And similarly, all the persons of the prior disciplic succession, they're Shiksha Gurus too. All the personalities in the prior disciplic succession, they're Shiksha Gurus also.
那么呢，在先前的，就是在这十部传习当中的以前的那些Acharya们、灵性导师们，他们也有他们的 Shiksha Guru。
However, if there's someone from outside of the disciplic succession that may be very learned and they speak very well or something, we don't go there.
那么呢，即便在这个十部传习以外，有谁非常有学识，并且呢，他们非常的能言善语。但是我们不会去听从这个使徒传习以外的人的教导。
Once taking shelter, remain faithful to the Sampradaya.
所以呢，当一个人脱离之后，我们应该忠诚于我们的 Sampradaya 师徒程序。
This is a generation after generation. This is a teaching that needs to be understood. Faithfulness and fidelity to Sampradaya is so important.
所以呢，那么像这样对忠诚于使徒传系的这样教导是至为关，是至为重要的，应该一代一代的这样传递下去。
Okay, I've been speaking enough, and the clock doesn't stop; it keeps moving. So.
那么现在钟在一不断的走的，我先。
I'll stop here and see if there's some questions or discussion.
Hi,
dear. Yeah. Over there. Hi, from. No, over there.
Where is it? He's got it. Right in his hand.
Always.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Regarding disrespecting the orders or instruction of the spiritual master.
关于这个不尊重明心导师的训示，或者是不去执行明心导师的训示。
There seems to be some sort of a paradox.
那么呢，就是paradox， 有一点似乎有点矛盾。
I mean by that, there is such a short period before the disciple makes a decision to take.The spiritual master for the rest of their lives, how is it possible for a disciple to come to the day of initiation where I'll never disrespect the guru, I will always follow the instruction when I've got my whole life ahead of me and there is every chance that I may disrespect and disobey?
那么就是在这个就是他去选择一位女性的托比他去执行他的So could you repeat? Because it's long. I can't see you thank to me.
Yeah, so Kumar, you know what I'm saying?
Do you understand? 就是这个门徒啊，他这个不违背灵性导师的训令和一直这个遵守灵性导师的这个训令呢，这有一点矛盾。就在执行当中啊，就他在启迪之前呢，他会发誓，他坚决按照这个咕噜去办啊。绝对不违背灵性导师的训谕，但是启迪完了以后呢，经常的是分分钟钟的他去违背灵性导师的训谕。
Well, there's a section coming up that we didn't get to yet.
那么呢，还有一个部分呢，是在后面要讲的，我们还没有讲到。
Where Haridas says the spiritual master should examine the disciple, and the disciple should examine the spiritual master.
Haridas 他说到了，灵性导师应该去考证这个门徒，那么门徒也应该去考察灵性导师。
It's not a complete solution to the paradox, or that you know the potential in the course of my life I'll have a problem.Situation.
那么可能这并不是，就是说，在我的日后的生活当中，可能会有一些潜在的问题会出现。
But it helps to know that you're supposed to be thoughtful in the whole matter.
那也就是，那么实际上这么说呢，是为了让我们关于这件事情应该是三思而行。
You know, it's something like marriage.
就像是结婚一样。
No, same as marriage, but it's something like marriage.
那么呢，就是说。有一点类似像这个婚姻。
There was one really sincere devotee.
有一位非常认真的、非常真诚的一位奉献者。
Saying, you know, this girl that I'm supposed to marry, you know, we've been together for a couple of years, and, you know, but how do I know for sure that, you know, it's not going to get sour down the road?
然后他就说到了这个我要去娶的这个对象嘛，我们已经就是认识两年多了，然后但是他有一点不能够确信，就是他们之间会不会发生这种意外。
And he mentioned, you know, there's this possibility that I see, and there's that possibility that I see.
然后呢，他就看到了这种不可能，或者是。 那种不可能。
How do I know for sure?
那我如何确保这个人就是我该娶的那个人？
My answer was you don't know for sure.
那么我的问题就我的回答就是说你不知道。
But you've been, you know, associating for some time now, and you know each other quite well.
但是呢，随着你们彼此之间的这种互相的聊、互相的相处，然后你们会互相的更加的了解对方。
And based upon that, you can decide go forward or not go forward.
而且呢，同basically.
Based on what you do know, you can make a decision. Are there risks? Yes.
哦，那么呢，就是你可以在你了解的基础上去做出一个决定。
Now, not exactly the same. You know, people have problems in their marriages.
那么当然了，这跟婚姻呢不是说是一模一样，但是就是人们在婚姻当中也会遇到一些问题。
Just part of the territory. Part of what happens when male and female get together, there's, you know, attraction and some problems.
那么就是这个异性相吸的这个过程当中也会产生一些问题。
Now, between disciple and spiritual master, there should be pause about, well, wait a minute here.
那么关于这个门徒和灵性导师他们也应该就是说啊、好好的深思去思考这个问题。
Apprehension isn't the solution. Apprehension being uncertain, just staying forever in this position of uncertainty.
那么呢也就是说他们应该就是在现有的这种状态当中应该好好的去思考。
I've seen that happen.
那么
I've seen that period of unending uncertainty happen.
然后他们去想一下那种不能够确保发生的事情。
But so there's this matter of faith, but faith that's based upon careful examination and evaluation.
所以呢，当然这是一个信心的问题，但是这个信心呢，都是就是你要去考证，就是首先要去考察对方的这个基础。
So it's not exactly a paradox, it's a paradox, but it's more, you know, being mature in your decision making, and even when you make a mature decision, you know, there may be unanticipated complications down the road.
那么呢，所以呢，关于这件事情，就是要做出一个成熟的决定。当即便是做出了这种成熟的决定，也许还有一些就是意想不到的这种事情会发生。
So some of us who have this service of spiritual master are more patient than the disciple would want to see that there's the maturity of the relationship, not just rah rah.
那么呢，就是。灵性导师更希望他的这个门徒是很有
灵性导师比门徒
更有耐心，
灵导师比那个想要起的门徒更有耐心去等待。
It's just mutual、
嗯、
not just from the disciple side, from the spiritual master side.
那么呢这不是就是是从灵性导师这一方而不是从门徒那一方。
It's touched upon in the chapter.
那么呢，实际上这跟我们这一章呢是有关的。
Okay, we have about 10 minutes.
我们还有十分钟。
嗯，国代刚才说到那个腾格惠斯菩萨蜜是个特别严厉的咕噜，可是就是我刚来的时候也听到他的老门徒，在我之前的门徒也说腾格惠斯菩萨蜜特别严厉。可是从我们来了以后到他引进收了一些门徒，然后就感觉到咕噜就变了，他就变得很柔和啊。然后后来的几个咕噜对中国奉献者的态度训练也是比较柔和的然后到了那个圣地，有时候到圣地，然后国外的那个奉献者都特别惊讶中国奉献者跟咕噜对咕噜的那种态度，就是要随便了，比较好像 所以就不是就是不换门徒。这个我不知道什么原因，我想问就是部落们啊，就说是我们中国的中就是没有正式的那种庙宇不好训练，还是女的太多，你们的态度就比较的就不是那种训练人啊军队似的纪律是强很强的那种训练啊，我想问问咕噜是什么原因
啊。So before I heard that Tamakrishna Goswami today is very strict with the disciple.
Yes.
So later on, when Tamakrishna Goswami visits China, her ways of dealing with the disciples or other devotees changed. And later on, he trained the disciples in a very gentle way instead of a very strict way. So, then other Maharaj visits China, they also train the devotees, Chinese devotees in a gentle way. So, but after I found out that when the Chinese devotee went to Holidang and foreigner devotees noticed that the relationship, and sometimes the Chinese devotee talked with a spiritual master in a casual way or personal way. They're very surprised. So what's the reason of this? It is because in China there are a lot of female devotees, Matajis. So that's why the Maharaj trained them in a very gentle way. So not like to train an army.
I don't know if it's a fact that Tamakrishna was light in training the devotees in China.
我不知道这个 Tamakrishna Goswami 对中国的奉献者的训练是怎么一种柔和的方式，还是这方面不太清楚。
刚开始。
At very beginning, very strict.
刚开始强。
Very strict. Very strict.
后来从我们进来，这些老妈姐就多了，马大姐多了。
So later on, when the more and more female devotees join Krishna consciousness, then he changed the way.
Would you agree with that?
你同意这一说法吗？
Vanacharan doesn't agree with me.
No
the premise.
There is no doubt that his mood was totally different in the mainland and anywhere else in the world.
当然毫无疑问的就是Tamakrishna Goswami 部队来到中国跟奉献者的这种相处方式和在国外是截然不同的，这一点是毫无疑问。
He was very strict and he was heavy with the devotees that you could see had leadership qualities.
他是对那些有潜力能够成为领导的这些奉献者是非常严格的和严厉的，而且是很沉重的那样的方式，很重的一种方式。但是对于其他人呢，他则就像是慈父一样的去对待他们其他人。然后一旦到达那个，一旦回到了香港，他又跟以前一样。
There's others in the room that have told stories that they got the sauce and it wasn't in Hong Kong.
那么呢，有一天呢，是在屋子里谈话的时候，有一个奉献者讲到了，这个奉献者他也不是在香港的奉献者，他也讲到了他。
From what I have heard from the devotees in China, not just in Hong Kong.He was heavy.
就是我听到了一段关于 Tamakrishna Goswami 不是在香港，而是在中国大陆的时候，的这样的一段故事。
Now I'm sure that he was discriminating about who could take it and who couldn't take it.
但是我能够毫无疑问的确定 ，Tamakrishna Goswami 他知道谁能够接受这种严厉的方式，谁不能够接受这种严厉的方式。
Without naming names, some said.Tamakrishna Maharaj was always so kind.
那么呢，我现在我也不提这个是谁说的，不提他的名字。 啊，有些人说到了 Tama Krishna Goswami， 他总是非常的柔和，和蔼可亲。
And others say he was always so heavy.
但是其他人却总是说了 Tama Krishna Goswami 总是非常的严厉。
So he was discriminating.
所以呢，这是他们的说法是不一样。
Extremely intelligent, extremely kind and caring.
那么实际上他所表现无论是严厉还是慈父他都表现出了他这种极度的这种仁慈
I'll just tell one Prabhupada story one more question and then we'll move on
那么我来讲一讲关于Srila Prabhupada的一段故事
Hari Story told me this story about Prabhupada
Hari Story 他不告诉我了关于Srila Prabhupada的这段故事
When it was time for prasadam for Srila Prabhupada.
在那个时候，当时的帕帕德到了他该进荣耀菩萨的时候。
He trained the cooks that things should be brought right on time.
那么呢，实际上他是要求这个厨师在按时准时的把菩萨的送到。
He took his bath.
那个时候他沐浴。
Sat down and chanted Gayatri.
他那个时候已经沐浴，然后坐下来念诵 Gayatri.
And the hot prasadam was to be brought.
然后那个时候呢，这个热的普萨达呢端了进来。
And he would have them bring chapatis that were puffed up like balloons.
然后呢，他希望给他的这个 chapati 啊，应该是这个鼓起来的，鼓得圆圆的 chapati.
And then he would poke his finger in the top of the chapati.And the chapati would then collapse because the hot air would go out.
然后呢，他把他的这手指，往这个 chapati 热的 chapati 鼓的圆圆的 chapati 上面一摁，这个 chapati 的这个热气就下来，然后就扁了下来。
And then with his hand, he would break off a piece of the chapati and use that like a spoon.
然后呢，他就把这个 chapati 撕下一小片，把这个撕下的这个一小片的茶帕里当做勺子一样去用。
Take some sabji or take some rice in that little hot chapati.
然后呢，他就是用这个热的茶帕里这一小块茶帕里卷着这个 sabji 卷着其他的菜。
And if the cook was late?
那个时候呢，厨师晚了。
They didn't do it twice because he was really heavy.
然后呢，这个厨师他这一次送晚了，他以后再也没有第二次这样送晚的时候。
So there was a period. Hari Story said there was a period of time when Mother Palika was his cook.
那么 Hari Story 说了当时 Mother Palika 母亲，她那一次是她做厨师。
And she was late with the chapatis.
那个时候呢，她因为做 chapati， 所以把普赛那么送晚了。
Prabhupada raised his voice.Loud enough that she could hear in the kitchen and said, Bring Palika right now.
然后那个时候是帕帕他的声音足以高到在厨房做饭的这位马塔吉能够听到说现在把Madhu Palika 带来。
Mother
Palika 带来。
Palika 母亲。
Palika 母亲带来。
Bring Palika.
Palika.
把 Palika 母亲带来。
Okay, good.So she came, Prabhupada raised his voice, shook his finger, and told her, You're late and you can't be late. Get back in the kitchen and don't be late ever again. And she started crying.
然后呢，当这个帕利卡母亲进入到舒帕帕的房间的时候，舒帕帕德就提高了自己的嗓门，然后用这个手指着他说到了，你今天晚了，以后不能够再晚了。你现在回到房间去，回到这个厨房以后去，再也不能够来晚了。
哭了。
然后呢，帕利卡妈妈听了以后就哭了。
Then the meal finished.
然后他就讲完了这段故事。
And、Hari Story was cleaning up.
然后后来帕就荣耀完了 ，Hari Story 帕布就打扫他的房间，打扫干净。
And Prabhupada turned to him and said, "I can't do that with other women, but I can do it with Palika."
然后帕就对 Hari Story 帕布说到了，说我对其他的女的，我对其他的妇女从来不会这样，但是对帕利卡嘛可以这样。
She can take it.
因为她能够承受得住，她能够接受。
你能接受。
And
others couldn't take, and so he didn't give.
所以，因为其他人不能够接受，所以呢，他也不会以这样的方式去对待他。
Discipline is for those who can take discipline.
那么纪律是为那些能够遵守纪律的人给出的。
So if you become so fortunate that you get discipline, understand that it's an expression of appreciation of your strength and, like Brother Sharon said, the potential of becoming stronger person and more of a leader.
那么呢，如果你能够受到这样的严格纪律的训练的话，应该感到非常的幸运，而且应该怀着这种感激之情。我们要了解到，它是对那些这些严格的纪律是为了培养出未来的这种有潜力的领导。
But don't imitate.
但是呢，不要模仿。
When the relationship is right, then those things can be done.
那么呢，当这种关系成熟到一定阶段的时候，就可以这样去做。
Otherwise, they shouldn't be done.
要不然的话是不会以这样的方式去做的。
Just be soft.
所以呢，那就是以柔和的方式。如果不是这样的关系的话，就会以柔和的方式。
Fatherly or motherly.
啊，或者是以对，
or motherly, but
或者是以慈父慈母的这种方式去行事。
Okay, it's 5:30.
现在已经5:30了。
See the Prabhupada! Yeah!